Do you know the only thing worse than getting no customers? It's getting the wrong customers. And it is shocking how often people are building marketing programs, spending a ton of time, energy, effort, and money to get customers, and they're the wrong people. It's actually one of the top five reasons that B2B marketing programs are failing. So today we're gonna work through exactly how to go about targeting so that you can nail your next program and drive higher revenue and profit through your marketing efforts. My name is Mason Cosby. I run an organization called Scrappy ABM. In the past 2 years, I've personally generated $25 million in tangible revenue, and I run an organization of people that have generated over $100 million in revenue. As we think about targeting in a business-to-business context, there's typically two ways that people go about targeting. First is persona-based, and then second is account-based. We recommend account-based, but we'll talk about it here in just a second. If you think about persona-based, typically your organization solves a very specific problem for a very specific kind of person. So let's say you've got an invoicing and accounting software. You're gonna target finance people. So we're gonna create a bunch of content that goes after everyone that we could possibly get in front of that's in the finance space. And as a result, a bunch of people may come to us, or they may not, but a bunch of finance people will come to us, and many of them will not be qualified. Or worse, they won't be qualified and we'll still sell them. So again, if you go more persona-based, it's casting a wider net with the goal being, let's get lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people to us. And then we'll kind of figure out who we wanna work with once they're here. Radically inefficient, which is why we prefer to go account-based, because most companies that work in the B2B space don't just work with a certain kind of department or a certain kind of person. On top of it, they work with a certain kind of company, a specific revenue range, a specific headcount, specific technology stack. So again, it's factoring together both the kinds of companies we want to work with the kinds of people we want to work with. And when you've built that kind of criteria together, you can end up actually building a specific list of companies that are the best fit customers for your organization to go after. So we're going to talk a lot about account-based today, and then actually specifically defining best fit. Because if you've done account-based marketing previously, sometimes there's even arguments on what is best. So that's the focus for today's episode. When we think about building out account-based targeting, oftentimes people talk about this idea of the ideal client profile, the ICP. I love the ICP. I think it's a very helpful framing. The issue is that many times people, instead of just doing ideal, they do it as more like idealistic. So as an example, we've worked with companies in which they had a board directive, which meant someone that was an investor said, hey, you should go close Apple. And I think we'd all love to close Apple. We'd all love to work with Apple and Microsoft and Netflix. And these are great companies that have lots and lots of money. We'd love to work with them. The issue is if your organization has historically worked with very small companies and then you start going after really big companies with no real rhyme or reason other than like we thought it'd be a good idea, you're not basing your targeting in data. And as a result, you're actually setting your organization up for failure. So I have really focused in less on the ICP, which is the ideal future state kind of customer. And when we do targeting, we actually look first at our current customers, which what we have referred to as the best customer profile, the BCP. When you think about your best customers, you likely have some of the data on these customers today, but there's actually a lot of data that you may not have access to currently, like profitability, NPS scores, product utilization. These are things that typically live with finance and product and customer success. So as you're sitting here today, if I were to just tell you to go into your CRM and pull a list of the customers that have the highest revenue, and we define that as best, it actually misses the full picture, which is, well, what happens when they actually become a customer? Are they happy? Do they pay us on time? Do they make us a lot of money? Do they send other friends? So when we think about this exercise, this is not gonna be something that you can actually do all by yourself. I highly recommend you actually send this video to some other people internally as a way of then identifying how we wanna define best for our organization. So we're gonna break down what you should get from each department so that you can actually lead this effort internally and end up getting a really clear picture of the best customer. So really paint the picture. I worked for a financial technology company that ended up selling the third largest vendor in the space that we could serve. Now, we had historically been more regionally focused, maybe state-specific for in-person storefronts, but this was a national chain that had 1,300 locations that wanted to adopt our software. The ticket size was incredible. It looks like an awesome opportunity, but what normally would take 6 to 8 weeks to do a rollout, because if it was state-specific or regionally specific, there were less than 50 stores. We go from a standard rollout that took 6 to 8 weeks across 50 stores to then move to a rollout across 1,300 stores took 18 months of dedicated energy and effort. And we actually had to hire new people to specifically support the rollout for this one client. And we didn't price it appropriately because we'd never done this. On the rollout itself, we ended up losing a ton of money. And the product wasn't the best fit. It did not match everything that they needed from us. So not only did we lose money on the rollout, they were unhappy with the rollout. As a result, we had the recognition that we shouldn't sell to companies this big. Like, it looked amazing on the front end. But in practice, when you sell to people that you've never worked with previously, and it's one thing if you make like a small step up. You know, you've normally sold to these kinds of companies, you sell to a company that's like 10 to 20% larger. But when we're talking, we normally sell to companies that have 50 storefronts. And now we're selling to a company that has 1,300. The order of magnitude difference is so great that your infrastructure, your team, your technology, it cannot support it. So as you're thinking about building out a program, make sure you're going after the actual best customers that are happy, that are profitable, and that look a whole lot like your other customers. It's also a very real story, which was the bane of my existence. So now that you understand the importance of making sure you have more than just revenue data, we're gonna start with what you should expect to get from every department so you have a more accurate view. So the first place that I'd start is finance. And I know many of you as marketers typically don't like to go talk to your CFO. They may have been referred to lovingly internally as the CFNO because they say no to everything. But this is one request that I'm positive that they will be excited to hear. If you go to your finance team and say, I would like to understand customers that are our top 20% or 30% most profitable, can you pull that list for me? This is music to financiers, because you're actually focused more on what's important to the business, which is not always revenue. It's ensuring it's profitable, happy customers. When you go to finance, ask for the top 20 to 30% of most profitable clients. When you then go over to customer success, ask for NPS survey data and just say, can you export and send it to me all of the NPS survey results that we've gotten from our customers? Or if you're using CSAT or whatever you're using to measure client happiness and satisfaction, then you want to use that and actually outline the criteria, like the revenue amount, the team size, the technology that they're using, the industry, the geographic region, or anything else that's important to your business. Once you've understood finance and customer success data, what you want to do is actually go back to these customer success team members and say, hey, these clients are really happy and they're really profitable. Is there anything about them uniquely as an organization that makes a great customer to work with? And what you want to understand is not just the quantitative information, but the qualitative information that you can get from your team members on those relationships. And once you've compiled all of that data, we'll then move on to talking with sales. When we go to talk to sales, the main thing we're looking for here would be two big things. One, how quickly did these deals move through the sales cycle? Two, how many people were involved in getting the deal closed? We want to understand, are these people not just closing at a high value that's highly profitable, but are they closing quickly? And then who actually influences these deals within these organizations? The goal here is if you've done this up against really happy customers that are highly profitable, you should then be able to identify these kinds of customers within our current sales pipeline, have these people involved in making the decision. And these who were bought in early, and these people actually were blockers that we had to help overcome. You want to understand who's involved so that once you've actually then gotten all the way out to marketing, the goal from marketing's perspective is to understand based on this criteria, what is the actual valid market size? So if you plug in all this criteria and you've got two companies, you probably need to make a couple of adjustments because that's not a valid market size to build the program around. But if you still got 20,000, you missed something along the way that was an indicator of this is why these companies were so successful with our brand. What I'm looking for at a market size is typically between 150 to 300 accounts per sales rep. And if you can get it that specific, you are ensuring that you're going after the highest propensity to buy in the companies that will get the most value from working with you. So that's how we think through going from finance to customer success to sales to then marketing to actually build out this best customer profile. Once you've built out that best customer profile, the best thing you can do is actually plug that information into your customer relationship management software, your CRM or your marketing automation platform. And once you've actually plugged that data in, what you may find is there are already companies that are engaged with our brand that look exactly like our best customers. And as you think about this from a prioritization perspective, going after people that already know you exist are exponentially more likely to buy from you than those that don't. So as you're thinking about where do I get started and how do I partner well with sales to get people to actually buy from us, Your job is to help prioritize these accounts for sales. And then any accounts that are not already in your CRM, they're not in your marketing automation platform, they're not in your databases, your job is to then develop marketing programs that make sure they know you exist and start to engage with your brand. So this is how we go from just a list of companies to a prioritized list of accounts that our sales and marketing teams are focused on engaging and closing. So I hope this has been helpful for you as you're thinking through, how do I actually nail targeting for the very first time? And make sure that it's an approach that is not just based in a gut feeling, but is based in data that everyone can buy in on. So before we wrap up, as we compare again, account-based against persona-based targeting. With persona-based targeting, you're typically creating content that's only for one person in the organization, and you're going really broad. With account-based, you're going after the exact companies, and you're engaging multiple people within those companies that are all involved in making that purchase decision. As a result, you make sure your efforts are going towards the highest profit customers, the people that actually love working with you. And the goal is, if we can get more people that love working with us, it's likely that we will then continue to get more people that love working with us. Pretty simple. Second, you ensure that you're actually aligned with sales on what they care about most, which is closing great customers. And not only that, but if you go after the best customers, customer success is going to love you, finance is going to love you, and your leadership team is actually going to buy in on the program because it's based in real data and rationale as to why these are people you want to be going after. And as a result, if you can actually do this well, prove a win, budget becomes a lot easier to unlock, and you can continue to grow and scale the business over the long term. So you think about targeting and you think about account-based, building the best customer profile is the best next step for you to do today. If you like this breakdown, feel free to give us a like and subscribe. We are doing a ton more content just like this, trying to help B2B marketers just like you learn how to scale their business and make sure that they have a massively successful career. So again, thank you for watching this video. Please send this on to your boss, and we'll see you in the next one.